A bizarre story out of Britain got our attention this week about someone they're calling a ginger terrorist. 37-year-old Mark Colburn of Southampton has been detained indefinitely for plotting to kill Prince Charles so that a redhead, Prince Harry, can become king. Turns out Harry is actually fifth in line to the throne behind William, George, and Charlotte. But the incident reminded us of a conversation I had with author Jackie Collis Harvey, who wrote a book called Red, A History of the Redhead. A great last-minute Christmas gift for the redhead in your life. I spoke with Jackie Collis Harvey in July. Jackie, welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you. It's very good to be here.
Well, it's great to have you, and our listeners can't see you, but I can tell them that you indeed are a redhead, as am I, by the way.
And I am.
In this book, you list all these assumptions that people have made about you because of your hair color.
Yes, all of them, right from the shockingly bad temper, which was an assumption I took dreadful advantage of when I was a child, to the idea that if you're a redheaded woman, you're somehow extra sexy.
Yeah.
Which I hope I haven't taken too much advantage of as I've grown up.
Well, why do people have all of these assumptions about redheads?
I think it's because red hair is different. It's other. And there is something hardwired within us that tries to explain other as soon as we're confronted with it. And it's also seems to be hardwired into us to ascribe to other a lot of the qualities that we all have, but the ones that we're most uncertain of or unhappy with.
Where did redheads come from? When did they arrive? How long have they been around?
Well, this is something that often surprises people. The when was about 50,000 years ago, by which time the early modern humans who became all of us had got as far as the grasslands of Central Asia and no further. So although most people tend to think of red hair as being a northern characteristic and something associated with the Celts, Scotland, Ireland,
right,
and Scandinavian nations, if you're going to be really strict about this, I suppose you'd have to say that it was actually an Asian characteristic.
Which is so strange to think about. But you even have a picture in this book of a Uyghur child,
yes,
with red hair from,
yes,
China. Amazing.
Yes, from the western province of China. And there are wonderful mummies preserved by this very, very dry climate that they have in this particular part of China from many, many thousands of years ago. And two of those at least have red hair.
And this idea of red hair as a bad thing, you point,
yeah,
out, has been around for a long time, going right back to the Bible.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, one of the things that made red hair such a fascinating subject, or makes red hair such a fascinating subject, is the fact that it is so gendered. And it seems to be the boys here who got the worst part of the deal, in that they seem to have all of the bad qualities that anyone has ever associated with red hair ascribed to them. A large part of that goes back to the medieval church and its depictions of the character of Judas, who is very, very frequently shown with red hair. But even earlier than that, with the Vikings, red-headed Thor was very much the god of the laboring man. With the ancient Greeks, red hair was a characteristic of barbarians and slaves, and they did encounter tribes they considered barbarians, who do seem to have had a lot of redheads amongst their number. So, you know, it's a very, very fascinating and complex history. And you have these three very, very unpleasant stereotypes associated with red hair, particularly in men. They're barbarian, they're lower class, or they're associated with Judas, with the arch traitor.
It's so unbelievable to me. As somebody who grew up with red hair, I have to say, you know, yes, people would pinch my cheeks when I was a little kid, and they would say something about the fact that I had red hair very frequently, but I didn't feel like I was discriminated against for it. Are people still discriminated against for their red hair, or have they been in recent history?
It's certainly improving. I think redheads themselves are doing a lot to change attitudes toward red hair. But it's as if prejudice, when it's manifested against redheads, you know, sort of somehow because it's not based on skin colour, which is the sort of the area in which we're all used to thinking about prejudice and discrimination. It's hair colour. I'm very glad to hear that you haven't been aware of discrimination as a boy, because I think it is tougher for boys growing up with red hair than it is to be a girl with red hair.
We're speaking with Jackie Collis-Harvey. Her book is called Red, A History of the Redhead. And let's talk about the history of how redheads have been portrayed in books and film. You talk about how Shakespeare portrayed redheads.
Yes, yes. Beatrice, for example, refers to Benedict's hair as being something browner than Judas's, which is sort of her paying him a compliment, as it were, you know, defending his character in a way. But obviously the idea of red hair is being used there as, you know, something which is undesirable. And then you have, you know, coming up closer to the present day, there was an almighty quarrel between the poet John Dryden and his publisher at one point. And John Dryden, Twitter and Facebook obviously weren't available to him, so he committed his fury to verse. And he describes his publisher as having two left feet and Judas-coloured hair. So you've got the same thing there. You have the same thing turning up in Dickens. You know, it all becomes really extremely depressing.
You have the fictional character of Anne of Green Gables, who gets so mad when a boy calls her carrots that she breaks her slate over his head.
Yes, yes. Well, you know, I did. It wasn't because he called me carrots, but I did fell the school bully to the ground at my village school in Suffolk, taking shocking advantage of the redhead temper, and I'm very glad that I did. But it is interesting with children's literature, because redheads in children are often regarded as being very, very cute indeed. And it does seem to be that as children's literature began to adopt redheaded characters, I mean, there's Anne of Green Gables, there's Pippi Longstocking, there's Tintin, for example, that you start to see the beginning of this change in attitudes towards redheads. And it percolates through into adult characters as well. For example, Lucille Ball, I have always thought, had an awful lot in common with some of those kooky little girl characters like Little Orphan Annie, who had red hair.
Well, and in fact, in the new Jurassic World movie, one of the main characters is a woman with red hair. But then there is the sexy quality to red hair. And I'm thinking of Julia Roberts in Pretty Woman. Even cartoon character Jessica Rabbit had red hair.
Absolutely. Yes.
Is there any truth to that?
Well, again, it's one of these intriguing things. There may be a scientific basis to it. If you have the pale skin that comes with red hair, then your system is much, much better at synthesizing vitamin D. And if you have enough vitamin D when you're growing as a child, it means you get a nice, strong skeleton and, above all, a nice, strong, properly formed pelvis. So childbirth for you is going to be less hazardous than it might be for somebody who didn't get enough vitamin D when they were growing. So I suggest in the book it's just possible that the association of red hair with sexiness, with fertility, it might stem from this realization somewhere way back in prehistory that choosing a redhead as a mate meant that you bred successfully and then your children carrying the redheaded gene did the same.
All right, let's go back to the G-rated portion of the interview. And let me ask you about another thing that redheads can do, which is apparently eat highly spiced food.
Indeed.
With no discomfort. And I can attest to that being the case for me anyway.
Indeed, yes.
And that we need more anesthesia.
Yes, we do. It is very well worth knowing this. If you're a redhead, you're going to need 20% more anesthesia than people of other hair colors.
Why is that?
It seems to be something to do with the way our system responds to the kind of chemicals that everybody's physiology produces. Intriguingly, one of the other oddities of our system is that we can produce adrenaline much more quickly, and our cells can take up that adrenaline much more quickly as well. So, you know, that might be some kind of a scientific basis for a redhead's reputation for bad temper.
The other thing about us, which I learned here, is that redheads don't have the same interaction with perfumes and scents as other people.
That's absolutely true. Yes, yes. This was first put into print by a wonderfully eccentric French chemist called Augustin Galopin. But it seems that he was absolutely right. Redheads do have a much more acid skin mantle than do blondes or brunettes, which means any kind of scent applied to us is going to smell different to the way it will smell on anyone with a different hair colour.
We really are the best.
We are. You know, we have it always.
Well,
we don't like the cold. We really, really do not like the cold.
That's true. Although many of us live in cold climates, so
yeah.
There's nothing we can do about that.
Yeah.
But as a lifelong redhead, do you think you've benefited or suffered or both or neither? What would you say?
I think I've benefited. I think my answer to that might be a little bit more modulated if I had been born a boy. But I think as a woman, having red hair has always been to my advantage. And I think for redheads, whatever their sex might be, you benefit from the fact that people remember you. Ed Sheeran has said this, that when he was starting out in his career, if you're the redheaded kid playing a guitar on YouTube, it's awfully easy for people to find you. He's called his red hair his saving grace because it's such a distinguishing characteristic.
Jackie Collis-Harvey, the book is called Red, A History of the Redhead. It is a fascinating read. Jackie, thank you so much for joining us.
That's my great pleasure. Thank you.
And a great Christmas gift for the redhead in your life, that book is. We spoke with Jackie Collis-Harvey in July.